Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Thanks so much for joining us right here at the Lakers Fast Break. Truly appreciate it. It's Gerald Glassford. And a good man is returned to us, man that was so much a part of the early days of the Lakers Fast Break, also is out and about with us at the Pop Culture Cosmos. It is a true Lakers fan, a man who loves the Lakers as much as we do here at the Lakers Fast Break, a man who I cannot have enough on the show. And that is TJ Johnson. TJ, great to have you here, my friend. You sent in what I originally thought of the Lakers History 101 concept. You know, I wanted to go ahead and get some ideas from everybody who's been a part of it as far as the panel, some thoughts on some great moments or some things of discussion to talk about. We've had some great conversations in the class. One of the things that you wanted to go ahead and talk about, which we covered in detail, as far as Professor Joe Soro and Professor Sean Grice at Lakers Fast Break University, was the 2012 Lakers, which was a great and outstanding conversation. So hopefully people can hit that up in the archives. But you also wanted to put in your two cents, and I wanted to always make sure that you had the option and the platform to go ahead and say, I need to go ahead and share some thoughts on that. And afterwards, we'll go ahead and share your thoughts as well on the current product, the 2023 Lakers, as we head into a tough time here going forward as far as the battle to get into relevancy here in the Western Conference. But your thoughts, my friend, on the 2012 Lakers?
Goodness gracious. Gerald, where do we begin? First, thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to be back on the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's been way too long, and that's my fault, not yours. Life has been ridiculous. It's been moving at a breakneck pace, unlike our Los Angeles Lakers. 2012, let's paint a picture of 2012. Picture this, 2012, the Los Angeles Lakers look like this. Kobe Bryant playing his, was that 17th season? 16th season. Mm-hmm. 16th season. In the NBA, 16 or 17. I'm not 100% sure at this point. It's been so long. I want to say it's the 16th season. Kobe Bryant playing his 16th season. Steve Nash playing his whatever 16th season as well, I think, because they both came in 2000 or in the 96 class. So Dwight Howard, who is coming off of back issues and being part of Orlando and not working out in Orlando and kind of jumping around a little bit. And then who else is on the roster? Oh, yeah. Metal World Peace, Pau Gasol. The championship aspirations that were that 2012-2013 roster. It's tough, G. It's tough because as a Lakers fan, some of those names were really, really strong. I mean, I was really looking forward to great, great things out of Dwight Howard. I knew that we were getting a watered-down version of that Superman, considering the fact that he was still young and immature and was still battling his back injuries. And we knew he wasn't going to be 100%. I knew he wasn't going to be 100% going into that season. You have Grandpa Steve Nash, who granted came into the league at the same time as Kobe, was considerably slower, considerably worse off than Kobe was as far as his body and just his deteriorating skill set. Could still knock down a three-point shot. Was still a knockdown shooter. Could still pass and play with some flair. But, you know, he caught that injury bug early, and it just never – the older we get, man, the harder it is for those injuries to wear off. I played basketball for the first time in, like, months, and it took about 2 months for me to actually feel normal again. I have a slightly torn meniscus. So I felt all that for the next 2 months after playing basketball. So I can only imagine when Steve Nash broke his leg, how hard it was for him to bounce back to even be able to play in the league again, let alone play at a level that we expect out of Steve Nash. So it was a very disappointing season, but it was disappointing for a lot of different reasons. It was disappointing that it was one of the last greats, one of the last good seasons we have for Kobe Bryant. It was disappointing that the season ended the way it did in such an abrupt fashion, between Kobe Bryant rupturing his Achilles, between Dwight Howard's meltdown in the tunnel with Mitch Kupchak, between the Lakers barely making the playoffs off the willpower of Kobe Bryant alone. It ended in such fashion, and it was tough, because as a fan of the Los Angeles Lakers, I knew in my heart that they were playing to get to the playoffs, but they were playing to lose. Even if the Lakers, with the Lakers making that playoffs, there was no way they were getting anywhere of any significance. There was no way they were going to sniff the Western Conference Finals. There was no way that they were going to get anywhere near a championship. So what were they playing for, right? I remember how strong the campaign was that they had. I think they had their slogan was one more game or play on or something to that effect, where it was like, let's push through. But the truth of the matter is they were playing it wasn't even second place. It was seventh, eighth place at this point. What was disappointing... Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying this team, like you said, had a collection of names that on paper should have gelled together, even at some cases, the latter stages of the career, to be at least a more effective team than they were.
Correct. But as you just said, they had a collection of names. They didn't have a connection. The players behind those names weren't the same players. And yes, on paper, it sounds like they should be. But if you remember, the Lakers tried that before in 2004, when they brought in an aging Karl Malone and Gary Payton to go alongside Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal. Now, granted, we all know what was going on at that time with Kobe Bryant, so he was not 100% invested in the game of basketball at that point, which, rightfully so, right? He had other things going on, but it takes a lot to bring a team together. There's so much more to bringing a team together than just putting people together. I think it's been very seldom where it works that we bring multiple superstars in and they win immediately. I think the only team I could think of where that happened pretty immediately was the Boston Celtics, when they brought Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and Kevin Garnett into the fold, along with Rajon Rondo. They won pretty immediately. Even LeBron James, when he did it with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, they took a year to figure it out who they were and what they wanted to do. So that stuff doesn't happen overnight. And to have the names that they had and to not have the opportunity as far as the chemistry building time that one needs to actually form some type of camaraderie, it makes it very, very difficult. And then you have a very A-type personality in Kobe Bryant, who was hell-bent on making the playoffs, hell-bent on willing the Lakers, if he had to make the playoffs. And then you have your next best player in Dwight Howard, next best player in Pau Gasol, who was an aging player, aging big man, who was really, for lack of a better term, was really a great player who had a great moveset, but was becoming very limited as well. Even at that particular stage of his career, he was becoming very limited in what he can do in his production. And we love Pau Gasol in Lakerland. So, I don't say that as a knock to Powell. I understand, Father Time is undefeated. So his production was on a decline. And then, Dwight Howard, being the kid that he was, or being whatever you want to call him, he did not gel with Kobe Bryant. That relationship did not work. Kobe is very much about come in, get your stuff done, focus on the game of basketball. And Dwight Howard's walking around with the score sheet talking about how many touches he got after a game. They're not the same, and it didn't gel well. So on paper, yeah, it sounds great. On a 2K roster, it sounds great, right? Because you don't have to really deal with personalities. But the truth of the matter is, when you have all those different personalities with all those different desires and all those different intentions, it doesn't work. And when you don't have the opportunity to build the chemistry, you don't have the opportunity to build the camaraderie that it takes to have a deep playoff run, to have a opportunity to do something special, it very seldom, if ever, works. And I think the 2012-2013 Lakers is a prime example of everything sounding great on paper, but it not coming to fruition when it's all said and done. It was tough. It was tough to watch. And again, obviously seeing Kobe Bryant go down the way he did, as inspiring of a performance as he put on, even after popping that Achilles, but walking out there on his own strength and nailing two clutch free throws to help secure the Lakers' win and their playoff position. It was heartbreaking because we knew, I knew, that he would never be the same after that. And it's not to say that he wouldn't fight like hell to get back to his playing, to be able to be playing basketball the way he played basketball. I knew his desire was there, but at his age, at that kind of injury, I mean, that was what ended Shaquille O'Neal's career right there. And granted, Shaq was already old, but once he popped that, he was like, there's no point. I'm not playing that game anymore. Everybody doesn't bounce back from that. And even though Kobe was able to bounce back and play basketball, and I think he recovered sooner than he was supposed to recover, he was never the same after that. He was never the same player. Injuries finally started to catch up to Kobe, and it was hard to watch. And that 2012 season was kind of the beginning of the end. So it's always going to be, for me personally, a stained season, just because I knew it was the beginning of the end for Kobe.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
People are just losing their minds trying to consume Marvel products right now, and I don't blame them. This is some of the best entertainment you can get on TV and big screen right now.
If something's going to be successful or not, they look at the mentions, they look at the likes, they look at the retweets and the tweets and the subtweets and the tweet tweets, and they look at all of that to say, okay, this is actually going to garner a lot of attention.
Is it going to be enough, though? I think the fish out of water syndrome might be enough for somebody like us, because it's going to be hilarious to watch two stoner kids we saw barely make it through high school now live in a society that they fully don't understand because they've been stuck in a decade and never came out of it.
Facebook stars, not ninja stars, okay? I know how some people take things literally, so don't throw ninja stars at us, but like the Facebook stars, click on those. That's what we want.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, it's Gerald Glassford from the Lakers Fast Break, along with my good friend, Mr. TJ Johnson. Thanks so much for watching and listening. It was the 2012 Lakers. The last thing I'll probably say about it before we head to this year's Lakers is that on paper, it looked really, really special. Yeah. And I think there was a lot of people that had read into what they had achieved earlier in their careers as a unit or as separate players on other teams and thought, man, this is going to be a no-brainer as far as where they can go. But looking at it from much clearer eyes now, hindsight is 2020, and the 2020 tells you that a lot of those players, like you just mentioned, were on the very tail end of their careers and could no longer give you what you needed. Even if they had all meshed, even if they had all stayed healthy, I don't think that the team in and of itself was in a position to still succeed at the level I think that was expected out of that roster in 2012. I just don't think that it was going to be a championship level team, but I thought it could have been much better than it was, but still to the point where I don't think a title would have come to the Lakers as much as we thought it would be when we first got that collection of players together in 2012.
Absolutely, Gerald. And, you know, we talk about the players and we talk about how much they didn't gel, but let's also look at the simple fact that they started the season with Mike Brown, right? So they started that season with Mike Brown as the head coach, and unceremoniously he was dismissed, and they hired who in his place? Not Phil Jackson, even though Phil Jackson was available and allegedly was considering the return to the Los Angeles Lakers. Mike No D'Antoni was their pick for the head coaching position. And if you look at the style of play that Mike D'Antoni was known for, which was a run and gun, you know, 7 second offense, if even that long, no defense. It was not designed. It's not a coach that was designed for an aging team, right? Your point guard at the time was what was he, 37, 38?
He was in that range, yeah.
Somewhere in that late 30s range, right? How much running gunning was he really expecting out of Steve Nash? I mean, truth be told, how much did he actually expect to get out of Steve Nash running that same style of basketball? There's no way they can maintain that pace for any extended period of time. And the fact that they thought that that was something that was sustainable, or the fact that he thought that that was something sustainable, was tough, man. That was tough.
Yeah, it was tough. And obviously we saw the results of that. But 11 years later, we have the 2023 Lakers, my friend. And after acquiring Rui Hachimura and Anthony Davis coming back into the lineup, there's a very different outlook that we have out there when it comes to what the Lakers are all about, my friend. So your thoughts on this year's Los Angeles Lakers as we head into the playoff mix, or possibly the playoff mix?
Yeah, my thoughts on this version of the Los Angeles Lakers, as my son decides to join me for the last few minutes here, is very, very similar to, I'm scared to say this, very similar to my outlook for the 2012-2013 Los Angeles Lakers. A lot of the names sound very good on paper. Right, you have LeBron James, who is playing out of his mind at age 38 in his 20th season in the NBA. The amount of minutes that he's playing, he's a phenomenal talent that a lot of people, and rightfully so, give him a lot of flack. Right, he puts himself into positions, he puts himself into situations to be criticized for a lot of the things, between some of the things he says, some of the way he acts at times. He can come across as diva-ish, very diva-like. And all of those things are very true. But what's also true is that we have not seen a talent like LeBron James in the history of the NBA. We have not seen a player who's had more longevity and has been able to output at the same pace that LeBron has ever. I mean, the fact that this man is already considered one of the greatest, and he's not done playing. He's still got a few years left. I truly do believe that. It speaks loads to his ability to continue to hone his offense, hone his skill set well into the twilight of his career. When many players would be having a substantial decrease, LeBron James is outputting at a phenomenal rate. His 2K rating just went up like 3 points. He's still the highest rated 2K player in the game. And that's unheard of. I know that that's not really a metric that people use to judge him, but I guess my point in saying that is, for as good as LeBron James is, it's not enough to carry this team by himself, right?
Yeah.
So on paper, you have LeBron, you have Anthony Davis, who, if we can get a healthy 60 games out of Anthony Davis, then I'm a happy guy. It's very, very tough to get behind someone who is not being able to give you a full season commitment ever. I don't think he's ever had a full uninjured season in the NBA. Maybe his rookie campaign. So it's very, very, it's very difficult when you have a player that's not consistently there, right? And and Anthony Davis was playing at an MVP level before he got hurt. Let's be very clear. Anthony Davis was carrying the Los Angeles Lakers before he got hurt, which is what LeBron James needs, because he needs not be the focal point of an offense anymore. It's for us to be able to hold on to LeBron, and for us to be able to ride this wave, we need him as healthy as possible come playoff time. And if we're going to continue to run him into the ground, a la Kobe Bryant in 2012, I'm not sure what we're going to get at the end of the year. So
he's actually played 75 games twice, and that was in the 2016 and 2017 seasons.
Okay. Give me an idea. Copy that. Then we're talking about Anthony Davis, right?
Anthony Davis, yes.
Okay. All right. So as we're currently constructed, you know, and obviously with the do we pronounce his name
Rui?
It is Rui. Okay, all right. So with the acquisition of Rui, which I'm curious to see how this all plays out and how he gets himself involved in this system. I know defensively he's not what people expected him to be. Offensively, he's okay. I don't know what the Lakers are really expecting with him. I think that's my concern. While they have a young player, which is great because you have aging superstars on LeBron James, right? And even Anthony Davis is not as young as he once was. You needed some youth to go along with LeBron. So as far as my expectations for this Los Angeles Lakers team, it's going to take a lot of chips to fall the right way for them to not only make the playoffs, but make any kind of significant noise in the playoffs. But I also recognize the fact that the NBA landscape has changed quite a bit. Golden State's not who Golden State used to be. You have up-and-coming younger teams, the Grizzlies and the Bucks still being a top team with Giannis Antetokounmpo still playing basketball the way he's playing. It's as wide open as it's been in a while, right? You had Golden State, who was pretty much the top of the mountaintop for the last, you know, 7-8 years with the acquisition of Steph Curry, with Steph Curry and Klay. So as good as they've been, this is the most wide open it's been in quite some time. So it's hard. As a Lakers fan, I love my Lakers, and I want to see them succeed. I can't say that I definitively don't see them making the playoffs and not getting very far. What I can say is that if there was ever an opportunity, now is the time. If they're going to make a push, now is the time, because it's wide open. It really is. The window is rapidly closing, but the field is wide open. This is their time to strike.
Well, we'll see what happens. But yeah, the Lakers need to do what they can to try and make a push towards the play-in at least. Just get to 500 and then see what happens from there. But TJ and your son, just great to have you both aboard. Truly appreciate you taking the time to speak to us. I know that's something you wanted to go ahead and touch upon, so I'm really glad you got a chance to go ahead and talk about the 2012 Lakers and this year's Lakers as well. Looking forward to when you can come back on the Cosmos and, of course, the Lakers Fast Break. Any last thoughts before we head on out?
Brother, I'm grateful for the opportunity, and I look forward to the next chance that we get to talk Los Angeles Lakers.
There you go, my friend. All the best to you, and thanks so much for being part of the Lakers Fast Break.